Amen. Hallelujah. So, as I said, today we're going to talk about stewards. That we are stewards. God calls us all to be good stewards over the things He has given and entrusted to us. His word, in fact, teaches more about stewardship than it does about ownership. And what does the Bible say about stewardship? Well, according to Scripture, God created earth for man, and we are now stewards over His creation. This means it is our responsibility to look after and take care of this world. And if you look around, I think we can all agree we haven't been doing a good job. Yeah, I say we. We have not been diligent in our part. If you disagree with that, you can tell me, but I can feel because I know where I have fallen short. We must accept our responsibility and appreciate God's gift of creation. Our stewardship of creation involves the taking care of the environment and the animals. The animals. You don't abuse animals. Especially not around me. As well as our families and our communities. The Bible Dictionary defines stewardship as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. The central essence, then, of Bible stewardship is managing everything God brings into the believer's lives in a manner that honors God. We are stewards. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 2, Amplified Classic, moreover, it is essentially required of stewards, that's talking to all of you, that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. What has been entrusted to you? A big part of our lives is in our stewardship over God's gifts and blessings. Our stewardship includes our most precious blessing, our children and younger generations following our footsteps. Our children will inherit what we invest in our generation. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I like that. Now, the second part of that was part A. But you know part B, it says, the riches of the sinner are stored up for those who are right with God. Okay, can I say it this way? The riches of George Soros are stored up for all of us. Call it only what it is. We are rich, folks. We are rich. God empowers us to slay giants in order to move forward and attain the goal He has set for us. As we have been and have seen, the battle does belong to the Lord. We must simply believe, trust Him, and then seize the opportunities to thrive we're given. Yeah, I said thrive in these opportunities. We shouldn't just be surviving. We should be thriving. We do this, listen, as torchbearers, illuminating the future for our children and their children and all generations following us. Everything we do right now has a direct consequence on everyone behind us. You can set a table for them to thrive as well, or create additional obstacles for them to overcome. We are thrivers. And a thriver is someone who not only goes through an exceptional, positive, or threatening life event, but shows subsequent growth because of the experience. Thrivers are committed to fighting giants. Committed to fighting giants. Is there not a cause? I'm just quoting David. Is there not a cause? There is a cause for us. And it is to clear the path for our children later. Thrivers know that God has already conquered, that Jesus Christ enables us to be more than conquerors, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to create an eternal legacy. Jesus himself told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, Amplified Classic again, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. It said, in the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. That's what Jesus said. Already conquered it. And what does 1 John 5:4 say? Everyone born of God, that's if you're born again, overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith in Jesus, the Son of God. That's how we overcome. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the words of our testimony. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He is faithful, folks. He has defeated death once and for all. Know that. And by his glorious power, we are more than conquerors with him. We are, in fact, joint heirs with Christ in God's kingdom. Woo! I don't know about you, but that does something for me. Empowered by his Holy Spirit, we know that the battles we win will allow us to steward the rewards entrusted to us. God told the Israelites in Numbers 33:53, take possession of the land and settle in it, because I have given it to you to occupy. Gave them the land. And the land we possess, perhaps literally, but more importantly, spiritually, will be inherited by our children. They will have to face the consequences of the battles we fight, as well as the ones we choose to avoid. Is there not a cause? Nonetheless, our children will not inherit our sins. Our children will inherit our blessings. And we are assured of that. Isaiah 44, verse 3. And the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Hallelujah. So we have the ability to influence, mold, and mentor our children and grandchildren unlike anyone else in their lives. Acts 16:31. You say, why are you going there, Pastor? Isn't that when Paul and Silas were in jail? Yeah, it's when they were in jail. It's when they were found praising God at the midnight hour, because they knew life was over at the daytime for them. So they was praising God in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. Amidst what they were falsely accused of, by the way. But now, if you remember right, they was praising and it was a shaking that happened. Right? And all the doors of the jails opened up. And the poor jailer, he's like, uh-oh. What happened in here? And all the torches had went out, so he had to bring his own light, and he came running down. And he's yelling because he doesn't know anything. He's going to kill himself. And what did the guys tell him, Paul and Silas? Hey, we're all still here. Ain't nobody went nowhere. And that's when he realized something special happened. And what the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And I like this. Scripture says, they replied. It didn't say Paul. It didn't say Silas. They. Can you hear them? Did you ever get in that where you go to say something and a person says the exact same thing? Can you hear them saying this? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Oh, let me finish now. Along with everyone in your household. That sounds like a promise to me. He got saved, and then his whole family got saved. Praise God. All because of what he did. And he believed in the promise of what was just told to him. Do you believe in that promise? If you got kids and aren't saved? They will be. You stand on the word, see? You lived a life in front of them, and you stand on the word, and you pray. They aren't lost. Devil might want to make you think they lost. Don't you give up praying on them. You be consistent and persistent praying and believing, and you will receive. You will see the fruit. Hallelujah. Our children inherit our blessings. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Verse 2. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. They will be blessed. Like the people of Israel, we can rest in the knowledge that our children will never live in bondage in what God took us out of. See, it has been proven that the lockdowns and masks did not work. The virus still got around. And the vaccines didn't stop it either. Did not stop it. They said in the beginning they would. They lied. And then they covered it up. And you've seen how they watered it down the whole way. They even changed the definition. Hallelujah. To make themselves look good. Like they knew what they were doing. They never did. If they had followed the original protocols of what was going to happen with a pandemic, we wouldn't have went through what we went through. But we've been lied to, folks. And we aren't going to be lied to no longer. See, we're awake now, and we're watching them, and we're watching them close, and we're seeing exposure more and more and more each and every day. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, it's happening. It is happening, folks. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he brings us still the power that we need. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Speak Jesus. And all else fails for you. Speak Jesus. In fact, that should be the first thing you do. Speak Jesus. The Israelites lived in bondage in Egypt until God heard their cries. And he answered their prayers. And what have we been doing since it started? We've been standing on 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and I'm going to say this, keep praying and keep seeking his face and turn from their wicked ways. How hard is that? Turn from your wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven and will forgive our sins. And he will heal our land. He has heard our cries for help. Can you see it? It's happening right in front of our eyes. Do not lose hope. Pay attention to not what the news media says, but what your spirit says to you. Spend time with God, and he will bring you a peace that surpasses all understanding. All understanding. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to be praying. We need to be praying hard for those Canadian truck drivers and farmers and the American truck drivers and farmers who are gathering right now. We need to keep praying for them. We need to pray, in fact, for all the truck drivers around the world and the farmers. It's not just happening in Canada and coming down to the United States. It's in Germany. It's in Ireland. It's all over the world they're doing this. And they're having a hard time with it. Man, are they having a hard time with it. There's a song. And it's an old hymn titled The Conflict of Ages by Leila N. Morris. And it was written and published in 1912. This is awesome. Okay, this is The Conflict of Ages. Lo, the conflict of ages is upon us today, and the armies are assembling all in battle array. Are you numbered with the faithful, one of God's loyal few, who have sworn him full allegiance? Can he count on you? Catching the vision of a lost world going downward in sin, while the Master's great commission long unheeded has been. See the children of the kingdom joined in heart and in hand, pressing forward in the struggle to redeem this fair land. See the church of God awakening and with glorious zest. She is lying on her altars now, her noblest and best. Toward the final consummation, we are hastening on. And the time for loyal service will forever be done. Have your eyes caught the vision? Have your hearts felt the thrill? To the call of the Master, do you answer, I will? For the conflict of the ages, told by prophets and by sages, in its fury is upon us today. You talk about a song for the now? Mm-hmm. We are in a conflict for sure. Now, more than ever, facing the attempt, I said attempt, by globalist elites to dominate and control the world's people and drive us into a new world order through their great reset. They aren't going to accomplish their great reset. God is going to do a reset before them. Their plan, according to Klaus Schwab, leader of the World Economic Forum, is that by 2030, you hear that? 2030. This is 2022. You will not own anything, but you will be happy. Hey, Glantz, I'm going to tell you something. We the people, we gathering, and we got God on our side. But see, those are words that he's been speaking. And they have infiltrated those young globalists that they have taught through this forum of theirs. Yeah, Justin Trudeau? Oh. How about the president of France? Of the, you know, the French president. There he is. President of Argentina. And how many other cabinet members are involved in it? And some of the cabinet members that are on Trudeau's team are tied all the way back to the Fuhrer. Uh-huh. And you know who Trudeau Justin likes? He really admires? The Chinese! He admires the Chinese. He admires their dictatorship. Because he said they can do things without any hindrances from the people. God. We must be praying. We must be praying. Be praying. And we must be supportive of them. Whatever it takes, folks. If it takes $10 from you, send it to them. Support them. God will honor that. Because I believe God has organized all of them to do this. He uses men and he uses women. And remember, all this didn't happen overnight. But it did take place while the church was sleeping. God liberated the Israelites from their captors, sustained them on their journey through the wilderness, and delivered them into the promised land. They no longer had to live under the oppression of the past. And he will do the same for us. America will be saved. Now, I like what Moses had to say in Exodus 14, verse 13. But Moses told the people, and he's telling all of us today, because this is a word for us, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. Mm-hmm. Those causing all this are not going to be seen again. They're coming down. They're coming down. But you know, in this verse, you know where it says, just stand. Okay, you're thinking, just stand. Right? Well, if you look it up in the Hebrew, that word is yasab. And it's spelled Y-A-T-S-A-B. But it's pronounced with a W sound, and they sort of drop the T. So anyhow, but if you look at what it means stand fast in what you're believing and you're confident to see and your expectations will be met. Huh? Just stand fast. Makes a little difference, doesn't it? Opens it up the scripture a little bit more. Makes you think you're just not standing still. But basically, it was the same principle for them. But not to lose faith. You cannot lose faith. We're not called to forget or deny or even pretend that we were never in whatever our particular Egypt may have been. A key part of our spiritual legacy is our testimony. Our story of how God delivered and empowered us to triumph over all. Did I say that is all? All is all inclusive. All giants, all obstacles, all of our oppressors in our life's journey. All. Passover is celebrated. Boy, it's coming quick, isn't it? Yeah, it's only a few weeks away. Passover is celebrated to this day as a time of recognizing the protection God granted His people when the angel of death ascended during their captivity. We are called to be storytellers who pass down the epic faith from one generation to the next. Hey, the Bible tells us that. Joel 1, verse 3. Tell your children about it in the years to come, and let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. Tell them how God set us free from all oppressors and saved the United States of America. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through our words and deeds of redemption, we create monuments to the Lord's power and His goodness. See, because God is good. All the time. And all the time God is good. Joshua, he even said this in chapter 4, verse 6. He said, we will use these stones to build a memorial. And that's the stones that they gathered from the middle of the Jordan when the Jordan was separated for them to go across. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? This showed their faith in God and God's faithfulness to His people. And by the way, those stones are still there to this day. They're there for a remembrance, to remind the people of Israel. And see, we've been adopted in. We've been adopted. So we take on this. The spoils of battle, the tools of survival, and the trophies of grace stand to remind us and our descendants of how far God has brought us and our nation. We, as believers, are thrivers in these times. We find ourselves in right now. We definitely are survivors, thrivers. We know that our Rock of Ages rolls. So we know how to rock and roll with God through the rock, through Jesus Christ, by our faith. Amen? God created us not merely to survive, but to thrive and to teach our children. Now, I understand that it's not always easy to believe this in the midst of the trials and all the turmoil and our temper tantrums. Okay, none of it, you've all had a temper tantrum, right? Because if you haven't, you come up here and tell me. And you haven't. And then I want to step back. Woof! You know, we have not given a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and of self-control. But we do have the tendency to have a temper tantrum, especially with what's going on. The frustration that we feel. One of the greatest concerns many people have voiced through this pandemic results from the perception that their children's inheritance was in danger. See, with the CPC virus running rampant, okay, you know that's COVID-19, right? You know that's the famous Chinese virus that we all have had to weather through. It has run rampant. The economy, what it has done, it has caused financial distress. Businesses closing down, some never able to reopen. Jobs were lost, and people were protesting. Now, some were good protests, and some were not. They protested to the point of burning down towns, people's livelihood, their businesses. And then they put him in jail, and our vice president, who's in there now, bailed him out. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Not if you look at it in the natural, but if you know what's happening in the spiritual, it means something. Many of us have wondered if all that we have worked for, all the giants we've slain, has it been in vain? Absolutely not. Mm-mm. Our children will walk upon the ruins of what we bring down in our generation. Mm-hmm. Just look at our history. Just look at our history. The walls we bring down will become our children's bridges. Not stumbling blocks. They will become the bridges for them. God's word is clear. In Isaiah 49:25, the Lord says, the captives of warriors will be released, and the plunder of the tyrants will be retrieved. It will be restored. What has been stolen from you will be restored by the Lord. Let me finish the last part. For I will fight, this is the Lord speaking, he said, I will fight those who fight you. I will fight those who fight you. And I will save your children. I will save your children. Hallelujah. The battles we're fighting, both internally and externally, become the very stepping stones to thriving for future generations. For those who love and serve the Lord, our legacy will endure. In Psalm 37, verse 25, it is a promise that assures us of this. Once I was young, and now I am old. No, I'm still young. Once I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The God who provided manna in the desert for the children of Israel will provide bread for his children traversing the desert in the 21st century, folks. Our children will never have to beg and will never be forsaken. Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. We are the works of God's hands. God created our offspring and all those we're privileged to influence with our lives for His specific purposes, just as surely as He designed us for our divine destiny, folks. Our children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. That's what the scripture says in Isaiah 54:13. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. That is a promise to us. Our children are filled with divine purpose, a purpose that hell cannot stop. You got to remind them and remind yourself that God knew them before you did. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex by your hands. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Nothing is a mistake or error in judgment on God's part. No matter what you think you're lacking or worried your children may suffer, rest assured that He is in control. O Lord, our Lord, means in Hebrew, Jehovah is in control. That's the word. No matter how diligent your faith or how closely you walk with the Lord, sometimes battle fatigue catches up with us. When all the news you read, all the headlines you see, and all the sound bites you hear drip with the toxic fear of bad news and worse, perceptions, it's time to remember you're more than a one-stone believer. Now, David only used one stone, but he gathered five. He needed one for this fight, but he knew he was going to have some more fights. And see, we have an unlimited amount of stones to take on any giant, because our supplier is the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. He gives you enough ammo. The more you study and read the words, the more ammo you will stockpile, so that when the fight comes, you have that specific stone needed to take down that specific giant. You may be tired of the battles that you fight day in and day out. And still, you look and you see ahead of you giants. You may be exhausted by what's required of you simply to keep your head above water and to hold on to the hands of your loved ones. But take heart, because you've got everything you need to keep on keeping on and to keep on thriving. We have Jesus. We have Jesus. Name says it all, Jesus. Jesus. He's Jehovah Nissi, the God our victory. God our victory. And Jesus is the same conqueror yesterday as He is today and that He will be in the future. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes. Never changes. Listen, our God is a big God. And He is El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the one who is more than enough. You have enough to take on any giant that comes up that you might face. For you have the victory. Yes, you will see the victory. And then what do we got to do? I know Deanie would like this. Ready, aim, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, and praise Him when the sun goes down. Amen? And I think we will stop right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.